Well, glory. I'm not pointing you to the preacher this morning. We're not pointing you even to this church this morning. We're pointing you to Jesus. It was him. Amen. Thank God. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. I'm going to preach this morning an unusual type message from a very horrible place. The first half, I will tell you, I'm going to talk a lot about the place. And then the last half, I'm going to tell you three things we need from that place. Turn to Luke 16, familiar passage. I will tell you this morning. This is not a parable.
No, sir.
And verse number 19, if you're there, this is not a parable. Because parables do not use names and proper names. It's not a parable. It's really a real story of two men that died and a real story about two places to go.
Amen.
And I want you to look with me this morning. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his wounds. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Stop for a moment for some Bible teaching. At that time, paradise was in the center of the earth. You said, I don't understand that. I thought paradise was in heaven. It is. Paul said he knew a man who was caught up in the paradise. But before the death of Christ and the resurrection, everybody went in to one or two places. You either went into paradise or, listen to the rest, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he did lift, that's a real important word there. It's not lifted, because that would say it was past. He lived. It's present. It was present. He was presently in hell then, and he's still in hell now.
Amen.
Being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Let me explain. In the center of the earth, there was a place called paradise for those that had faith in Christ before the cross. And then there was a gulf. And then there was Hades. The rich man was in Hades. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom in paradise. Hey, by the way, Jesus, when he went, he died, he went into paradise and even preached to those people. And on the third day, he took that crowd out. And the Bible said, hell hath enlarged itself. Now, don't leave me yet. I'm going somewhere and you'll like it when I get there. Stay with me. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let me give you some facts this morning by way of introduction. Hell's a real place. Rationalism says there is no God, therefore there can be no hell. But I say, let God be true and every man a liar. Ridicule says they may be a God, but it is silly to speculate about millions of disembodied spirits frying in a fire somewhere. The idea of hell was born out of revenge and brutality on one side and cowardice on the other side. And the ridiculer says, I have no respect for any man who preaches it. I dislike the doctrine. I hate it. I despise it. I defy this doctrine. But I say, let God be true and every man a liar. Religion says there is a God, but he is a God of love, and therefore he would not send anybody to hell. And I want you to know, God will never send one person to hell. You'll be going there and you'll be a violator there, because hell wasn't even made for you. The Christian Scientist says hell is an error of the mortal mind. The Jehovah Witness says the wicked will be annihilated. The Mormons say we will eventually be saved and will not suffer eternal punishment. The Seventh-day Adventist says God will someday blot out all sin and sinners and establish a clean universe again. The lost will burn up like a broom sage. I say, let God be true. Amen. And every man a liar. I'm still introducing this message. I'm going somewhere. You stay with me. You'll like it once I get here. I'm going to say three more things about hell. By the way, these two fellas, there was a great contrast in their deaths. One of them went to hell and one of them went to heaven. But I want to say this about hell. Hell's a place of sensation. What I mean by that is people will be able to see. People will be able to hear. It's obvious people will be able to speak. It's obvious he can feel. It's obvious they can desire. And it's obvious they have needs. You're telling me, preacher, people that die and go to hell will be able to see the torment? They sure will. And feel the torment? They will. And even have a desire for stuff. This man had a desire for water. Yeah, you'll desire something. Am I preaching? Somebody stay with me here. I know this is not a shouting sermon, but it'll be shouting here in a minute. You just stay with me. Hell not only is a place of sensation, it's a place of separation. Yes, sir. Amen. The rich man found himself separated from Abraham and Lazarus. And listen to me, if you die and go to hell this morning, you'll be separated from the loved ones you know. You'll be separated from the goodness of God. You'll be separated from family and friends. How, you ever thought about being in hell? There'll be never a sunrise you'll see again. You'll never feel a warm breeze from the ocean. You'll never smell the fragrance of flowers. You'll never hear another gospel sermon. You'll never hear another gospel song. You'll never have somebody to witness to you and pass a tract to you, because it'll be forever too late. You'll be separated from all that is good and all that is wonderful. Hell is an awful place. Hell also is a place of suffering. The Bible uses the word torment. It means actually torture. You say, what kind of place is it? It would be a place of unquenchable fire. Hold a moment. If I could bring a torch up here, and I think we got one out there in the garage if you want to try it out. And I like to torch up. Do I have any volunteers? Because I'll get Steve to go out to the garage. Do I have any volunteers to put your hand in the fire for 10 minutes? No, sir. No volunteer? No, wait a minute. Let me listen. How about 3 minutes? Huh?
Good preaching.
Well, just how about 30 seconds? Just let me stick that blowtorch on your hand for 30 seconds. There ain't no one in this room would do that.
No,
yet, you are rejecting the only hope for your soul. And you're going to a place where it won't be for 10 minutes. It will not be for 5 minutes. It will not be for 30 seconds. It'll be forever.
Good preaching.
I want you to know something that don't make no sense to me. And I'll tell you something else to be down there is memory and remorse.
Yes,
I'll tell you what, you may not like my kind of preaching right now, and you may not like old-timey religion right now, but there will be a day you'll remember this sermon. There will be a day that you'll regret that you didn't receive Christ. There will be a day that when you said, why did I trust what that preacher was preaching?
Absolutely.
I've only been preaching for 10 minutes. And I'm thirsty. Well, that's good. I preached so hard last night. I thought I'd never have drank anything in my life. I preached 45 minutes. I got shouted down for 45 minutes. That means I shout louder than they do. And I thought it was 18 miles from that church to a gas station. And I thought, I'm going to die first. I am dying. I mean, my throat was parched. I felt like my body was on fire. I wanted something to drink.
Yes, sir.
And buddy, I got me one of my favorite drinks. Got me one of them diet root beers. Man, I put that up to my lips. God, I thought I was in heaven. Hold a minute. Could you imagine being in a place where you can't even, you're not even allowed one dip. You're not even allowed one sip.
No, sir. Good preaching.
You'll be in hell for eternity and without anybody to help you first.
That's true.
I'm going somewhere.
Yes, sir.
I just haven't got there yet. Also, Luke 16, it'll be a place of misery and pain. Misery and pain. I hate pain. But in hell, you'll be in pain forever. Luke 13 says there'd be a place where weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some of you come to church this morning, you're frustrated as you can be and angry. Can you imagine being in a place for eternity? They'll be in their frustration, never fulfilled, never any joy. Never any, there's people in this room, your life's unfulfilled. You have no joy. You don't know where you're going in life. And in hell, you'll be in a place where you'll be frustrated. And here's how he describes it. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what gnashing of teeth symbolizes? Anger. And frustration. That's what'll be in hell. You said, I'm so frustrated right now. You don't know what frustration will be when you are in hell and you are there and frustrated forever. You said, preacher, I wish you'd preach on something more positive. I actually am in a moment. And then there'll be an eternal separation. And then there'll be unadulterated wrath. The wrath of Almighty God will be on you forever. How many's heard enough? How many in this room's heard enough to tell you that you don't want to go there? Raise your hand if you heard enough that you don't want to go there. If you want to go there, raise your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand if you want to go there, because you might as well even, hey, do you? Raise it up. Even you unsaved can't raise your hand up, because in your mind and in your heart, I don't want to go there. But that's not my message. Here's my message. I want to preach on three things that's in hell that we need in our life and in our churches. Three things in hell that we need in our life and in our churches. Number one, look at verse number 23. The Bible said, and in hell, he what? Lift up his what? Number one, we need a clear perception. We actually need vision. You know what's wrong with us today and what's wrong with some of you? You got your eyes on the wrong thing. And by the way, if you're lost, you're blinded by the devil. But I'll tell you what we need that's in hell. We need vision. Well, by the way, without a vision, the people perish. You said a vision. Well, let me just talk about two people. First of all, sinners, you need a vision. You need it right now. Sinner, you need it right now. Look around and say, what's making me happy? Why am I so sad? Why isn't there something that... Why am I so dissatisfied? You need to have a vision of your need this morning. Amen. And I'll tell you what else you need. You need a wake-up call. Maybe you're here this morning, you've had some wake-up calls. You need to have your vision that you don't want to go to that place called hell.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But I'm not done though. Sinners are not the only one who needs a vision. Saints need a vision. You know what we need a vision of? We need to have a vision is we can't fix our problems.
Right.
We need to have a vision on somebody that can help us.
Yes, sir.
You said, preacher Smith, I've been trying everything. Why don't you try Jesus?
Amen.
You said, Preacher Smith, I've been doing everything I can. Why don't you try him this morning?
Yes, amen.
Why try your social drinking? Why try your dope? Why try your marijuana? Why try to do what the world's doing? Why don't you for one time open your eyes up and see your need of Jesus?
Yes, amen.
Good job. Preaching right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, Church of the Living God, we need a vision of a lost and dying world. We need a vision of hurting people. I thought I saw Chris Jones earlier. Chris, you here? If you are, raise your hand. I was looking for you. I thought he was here. I don't see him now. There you are, Chris. Hey, Chris. I love you, buddy. And I've been praying for you. Can I tell you, Chris, there's help for your pain. Here's what I'll tell you. Tell everybody, get your eyes off your problem and get them on the Savior. Get your eyes off your sickness and get them on the miracle worker. Get your eyes off yourself and get them on Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In church. You know what really I'd like to do if I was capable of doing it? I'd like to get about 10 big buses this morning and load you up and let you drive into hell and see it and see the lost people. You know what I like? I like some mamas and daddies right now for the first time open your eyes up and realize where your children are going. I like some grandpas and grandmas for the first time in a long time. Look and see where your kids and grandkids are going. I like for some of you spouses. Look and see where your spouse is going. And I'll tell you what, I won't have to fight you to get a gospel tract back on them walls. I won't have to fight you to come to soul winning. I won't have to fight you to go out and witness to somebody this week. You won't have to have no pride. You won't have to have no. You know why you don't do it? Your eyes are not open.
Right.
Wake up!
Yes, sir.
Get your eyes open. Get your eyes open to hurting people. This week, there's a fella dropped in off the street. I was by myself. I don't know where, but probably out to lunch. And I was there by myself, and somebody come off the street. About half scared me. And man, they knocked on my door like that, real loud. I didn't even got to tell you about it yet. Walked in. I said, come in. He came in and I could smell his breath. He had a little liquor on him. He wasn't drunk, but I could tell. You know, I know liquor. I used to be there. And he'd been saved. I witnessed to him. And he looked at me and he said, I went up to that church up the road, and there ain't nobody tell me anything. I've been to 10 churches, and nobody's there. You're my level. And this is the first time I found anybody. And I didn't have all the answers. I just said, buddy, I don't know you from nothing, but you look bad. You look hungry. And I ain't supposed to do this, Chad, but I went over to McDonald's. Got me a Big Mac and fries and him a Big Mac. I even drank a regular Coke. And I fed that poor boy. Filled his gas up. He said, I never thought there's anybody even cared anymore. for me. You ever get your eyes open, you'll see there's a hurting world that needs you. Why are you so self-sufficient and self-indulgent and it's always about you? If you ever get yourself wrapped up in others, it'll change your life.
Amen.
I didn't lead him to Christ. I led him back to Christ. He then went on to Ohio. And he left out of the parking lot. And here's what he said. I'll hear it again in eternity. Thank you, preacher. Thank you! Here's what's wrong. Some of you think that all God done was save your soul to take you to heaven. If that's true, why aren't you there? He saved your soul so you might help somebody else. Somebody help me. He saved your soul and left you on this planet that you might be a benefit to somebody else. Oh, I'm not done yet. I'm coming to you. Look at verse number 27. Not only did he have a perception clear, but look at verse 27. Are y'all there? Say amen.
Amen.
Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house. I tell you what they got in hell that we need to have in our lives is a compulsion to pray. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Mark 9:29 says, this kind cometh by prayer and fasting. As some of you, your life's in turmoil. You're discouraged. You're depressed. You're beside yourself. And you're trying to find all kind of fixes. When's the last time you just said, I'm tired of all them fixes. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to find God. I don't care what my neighbor thinks. I'm going to drape myself over an altar. And I'm going to ask God to touch me. Touch my family. Touch my church. Touch my children. Touch my grandchildren. I want God to touch me. I want a miracle from God. And the only way you get a miracle is through prayer.
Amen. That's right.
Now I'll tell you what you do. When you get in trouble, you get on the cell phone. Call your wife. Call your neighbor. Call the preacher. And they're all good. But ain't none of them can help you what you need help.
Amen, preacher.
I'm glad that he's never busy. You're looking at the preacher's needs some miracles in my life. I can remember some times when everybody counted me out.
Yeah.
It's over.
Right.
But I'm thankful.
Amen.
That he hears and answers. Prayer. You're here this morning. You're hurting. You're depressed. You're down. You're trying everything. Why don't you come and lay on your face and agonize before God?
Amen.
I know hell's awful, but it does teach us some things. We need a clear perception, and we need to have a compassion to pray.
Right.
Instead of getting on your Facebook after service and spending your day looking at your Facebook, it might be good to look at the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Instead of getting on your Twitter and your Instagram. I know some instantaneous success you can have if you go to the Father.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I need answers. He is a prayer answering God. Hey, you know what? He's answered prayers in your past. Why do you think he can't do it again? There were some times you were on the edge and the brink of destruction, and he brought you out. Why don't you trust him like you trusted him then?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm almost done. I told y'all this wasn't just about hell. Number three. Look at verse 28. Verse 27 says, "We just send somebody to my father's house. For I've had five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Number three, we need a concern for people. You want to know what I'm about? You want to appreciate anything about me? I care for people. I care for my people. I care for this church. You said, "Preacher, you're not at my house every day." Nah. But I'll tell you what. You let me know there's a need, and y'all be the first at your house. See, we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned about lost people. Hurting people. People over the world. You know something? Greatest thing you can do, pay your tithe in this church and your faith promise. We had one little group of missionaries from the Rock of Ages. Just that group. We're doing a little figuring. You know what you're accountable for on that? They had 50,000 souls saved last year. That ain't it, you know. We've been doing a little tallying. You know what this church, you know what you got to your account? Over 100,000 people got saved because of your giving and concern for others. Ain't nothing like a local church getting into the work of God and saying, "I love this community, but I not only love this community, I love this world." You want to invest in something, invest in your church. Give your tithe, give your faith promise. Say, "I want to be a part of that." Amen. It's bound. Eyes closed. Center man, center lady, have you got your eyes open? You didn't raise your hand that you would want to come to hell for 30 seconds even. You said you wouldn't put your hand on fire for 5 minutes. But why would you die this morning and go to hell and burn forever? Open your eyes up. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, or you're not sure 100% you're saved. By the way, if you're not 100% sure, it might be that you're not. I ain't saying you're not. But I want to tell you, if you keep having reoccurring doubt, it might just be you need God. I want to have me right now say, "Preacher, I'm not a Christian, but I do not want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Raise your hand. If you're not a Christian, somebody raised their hand over here. Somebody else, "I'm not a Christian. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. My eyes are open this morning. I hurt you. And I do not want to perish and go to hell." Just raise your hand and say, "Pray for me." How many church people need help this morning? How many church people need help? Your eyes are open, but the only help you can get this morning is Jesus. You tried him before. You were desperate before. How about now? How many Christians need some help this morning? Raise your hand. Hold them up high. Need some help. All the church. Hold them up. How many of you are standing in the need of prayer this morning? Slip your hand up. I need prayer. How many of you got somebody that if they don't get the gospel to them, they're going to die and go to hell? And you don't want it to happen. How many slip your hand up and say, I got a friend, I got a child, I got a loved one, I got a grandchild. God bless you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand. There's people at the altar already. And I'm going to pray. And if you need saved, you come for that. If you need help and strength and a God to help you, lay down your pride and call on Him this morning. Father, touch right now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You ought to already been to the altars.